You are now listening to Countdown to Kickoff, presented by DolphinsTalk.com. To get you ready for today's game, here's your host, Tom Earnessy.
Welcome to Countdown to Kickoff. I am your host, Tom Earnessy. With me, it's not just Dante Colonelli. It is Hollywood Dante Colonelli. He is back because QB1 is back. Tua is back in action against the Jaguars. Dante, this is a big moment for the team. 1-4 at this time, and their quarterback is coming back against a team that has lost 20 straight games. Obviously, the Dolphins should win this one, right?
Yeah, they should win this one. For those of you listening, the sunglasses are on. QB1 is back. That means the sunglasses are back, baby. We're feeling good about a 9:30 kick in London against the 0-5 Jaguars. This is a huge game. You got to win this one, right, Tom? Like, there's no excuses. QB1 is back. Worst team in football is rolling up. Like, you can't lose. This is a big game. You got to, if you lose this game, like, the season's probably already over. If you lose this game, it's definitely over, and like heads got to roll at the end of the year. So,
yeah. Oh, 100%. And you know, there, like you said, there is no excuses. This is a game that they absolutely have to win without question. And having Tua back in the lineup is big, because the game that we did see him play a full game on the road against the Patriots in week 1, they won the game. He only had 4 or 5 snaps against the Buffalo Bills before his ribs were obliterated by AJ Epenesa because Jesse Davis couldn't block.
Yeah. So he got an assist from Jesse Davis there.
Yes, 100%. So, you know, a little bit of an improvement from the offensive line last week against the Bucs. You know, I think it was good to see Liam Eikenberg at left tackle. We'll talk about that here in a minute. I know you were excited for that. You know, this is a evolving process with the guys up front. But the big news coming into this game is the injury report for the Miami Dolphins. And we're going to dive into that right now. But first, I do have to mention the show is sponsored by BetUS. Go to BetUS.com. Use promo code DolphinsTalk and get 125% sign-on bonus. And if you're going to pay with crypto, as we know, crypto is taking off. Use a promo code DolphinsTalk200 and get 200% sign-on bonus when you pay with your crypto. So let's get into the injury report. Let's start with the Jaguars. An interesting report for them, and a big name is out for them, and it's linebacker Miles Jack. He did not participate all week in practice. He is out. He's a dynamic linebacker for that team. That is a big loss on that side of the ball. In addition to that, they have Rashad Coward. They didn't even travel with the team, actually, while I'm looking at the report. So they didn't participate at all, and they didn't get on the flight. So they're not even remotely available to play. The two other guys with a game status, Tyson Campbell, cornerback, and defensive lineman Rory Robertson-Harris. Man's got almost 3 first names. Can't trust a guy like that. He has an ankle injury. He is questionable for the game, as well as Tyson Campbell with a toe injury. Questionable. The other guys on the list, full participant and no game status going in: Dakota Allen, Ben Bartik, Adam Gotisis, Marvin Jones Jr., Laurentre McCray, and Tyler Shatley, all ago. And now for the Miami Dolphins, this is a big list, and we're going to talk about this a little bit more in depth here. Cornerback Xavien Howard did not practice one bit this entire week. He is out for this game. And Devontae Parker, he is now out as well. Did not participate in any practices leading up to this game. The other guys with designations, Jacoby Brissett, it says hamstring. It's probably his head, his shoulders, his knees. I mean, you throw his toes in there too if you want to, but he is injured. He was banged up behind the Miami Dolphins offensive line for the last 3 weeks. Questionable. Byron Jones, Achilles and groin. He was limited all week. He's questionable. Adam Shaheen, knee. He was limited all week. He's questionable as well. Preston Williams popped up on the list on Thursday with a groin problem. He was limited Thursday, limited Friday. He is also questionable to play. And Brandon Jones, no game designation. He was a full practice all week with an ankle injury. Let's talk about it, Dante. No Xavien Howard is a huge deal here. You're going against Trevor Lawrence. He's been struggling a little bit as a rookie. But overall, I think he is starting to find a little bit of his stride, especially with his legs. He's been causing some havoc for opposing defenses. Again, team's not great down in Jacksonville, but we can't say that Miami is really any better at this point. But losing Xavien Howard is a big loss. Who steps in?
Yeah, who steps in is the big one. Obviously, losing Xavien Howard's big. I think, and I don't know how you feel about this, Tom, but I think it's going to be Nick Needham. I don't even think it's going to be a competition. Yeah. I don't really know who else is going to step in. Noah Igbinoghene, has he dressed a single time this year? Maybe in one game he dressed,
once,
right?
He made a mistake on special teams on one play, and then they benched him again.
Right, so we haven't seen him in weeks. So, like, I don't think he's going to come off the bench. Not even the bench. He's going to come off the practice field and he's going to start. Like, I don't even know what to say about that. So I think it's going to be Nick Needham on the outside with Byron Jones. And I think that Nick Needham has played fine this year. I think he's a perfectly fine cornerback. If you have to start him against a team like Jacksonville, I think, you know, you can live with that. You know, it's not like we're going up against, you know, Buffalo or Kansas City or one of those teams with like multiple dynamic threats. I trust Byron Jones to lock in on Marvin Jones on the outside. Xavien Howard probably wasn't going to cover Laviska Shenault in the slot anyway. So Needham is going to have to come up big. I'm assuming that they're going to attack him as they probably should, frankly. But I think that he is up to the task for this game. If this was a different matchup, I'd be a little bit more concerned. And I don't know how you feel about it, but I think Needham can handle his own in this matchup. I really do. I don't think that we'll see, you know, him get dusted consistently in this one.
No, I like Needham. I think he's been, like you said, he's been a fine player. And, you know, as an undrafted player going back to 2019, he's made strides every single year. And now he gets his moment to shine again on the outside because he had to do it in 2019 when Xavien Howard went out with injury after the Steelers game. It was Nick Needham that moved to the outside and played for the rest of the season. And overall, for an undrafted player, he played really well in comparison to Noah Igbinoghene, who is a first-round pick that can't even see the field. Nick Needham has been fine, and I like you said, I think he's going to have, he's going to have to shine here. We know that Marvin Jones is a big target for Trevor Lawrence, and Byron Jones has to lock him down. Justin Coleman most likely will be in the slot, and that worries me when it comes to Laviska Shenault because he is a big.
It's a good point.
He's a big man. So I don't know. They could leave Needham in on the slot, and that leaves a hole on the outside. And, you know, you could put Jason McCourty out there. Food for thought.
It's not a bad idea. Yeah, it's.
You could, and then you know you have the opportunity then to play Javon Holland in the starter's role at safety. So there's a lot of things that we won't have any answers for until they line up on Sunday morning. But let's get into the big part of the show. Who has the advantage? We're going to start at the quarterback position. Tua's coming off, obviously, a rib injury. This was a big injury for him, missing 3 weeks. He wanted to play. They put him on IR to kind of save him from himself and try to sort this offensive line out with Jacoby Brissett back there. He comes back. Trevor Lawrence has been, he's a rookie. He's struggling, give the benefit of the doubt. I think he's going to be a fine quarterback in the NFL. But Urban Meyer has not done him any favors at this point. He's doing himself favors at bars, but not with his quarterback in the locker room. Sorry. I hope Urban Meyer is watching this. But anyway, at the end of the day, I think that you have to go with Trevor Lawrence right now as who has the advantage because he has been there. He has been playing. And he has had great moments so far as a rookie. Obviously, he's thrown a lot of interceptions. He's thrown more interceptions in his first five starts than Tua did all of last season. But we won't go there. We won't talk about why nobody's talking about Trevor Lawrence throwing that many interceptions. But I think that Tua is going to have a strong game. I just have to side with Trevor Lawrence just because he's been there. And, you know, it's a pick 'em. Both offenses are terrible.
I thought I was going to be the one to pick Trevor and everyone was going to get mad at me, but it looks like we're going two for two here across the board here. Here's the thing is like, I like Tua. I really do. There's a Tua jersey in that cabinet back there. Trevor Lawrence, a better quarterback. And I know that there's going to be people who are going to get really upset about that. If you watch the first five games of Trevor Lawrence's career, there is at least like five throws every game that are obnoxiously good. And they are just not in Tua's bag. Like, I don't know how to better explain that. Now, all the interceptions, you know why Lawrence throws so many interceptions? Because he throws the ball down the football field. Yeah, like he's willing. Yeah, he knows Jacksonville's bad. He's testing his arm. He's going to whip the ball around the yard. He doesn't care. Yeah. And that's the type of mentality that you want in a quarterback. Now, on the flip side, it would not surprise me if Tua outplays Trevor Lawrence just because I don't think that the Jaguars defense poses any problems for anyone. Frankly, yeah. They've got like a couple of solid young players. That secondary is riddled with career backups and overpaid corners. They're missing Miles Jack on the second level due to injury. The Dolphins defense has not been good this year.
No,
but if they had an opportunity for a get right game, right? We know it's not a talent problem, right? Like we've seen the defense be dominant for, you know, what was it? 16 games last year. They were really good for
it's a complete execution problem.
Yeah, it's an execution problem, right? So this is a get-right game for the defense. So it would not surprise me if Tua outplays Trevor Lawrence today, but Trevor Lawrence is a better quarterback, and Dolphins fans don't want to hear that. It's the truth. The interceptions, you can bring them up all you want. You got to watch the film, man. It's context. I'd rather throw 70 interceptions if you're trying to push the ball down the field for explosives than take a bunch of checkdowns and go three and out. Sorry.
Yeah. When you look at it, Peyton Manning threw how many interceptions his first season?
Some ridiculous number.
It was over 30.
Yeah.
But he pushed the ball down the field, and that's something that Trevor Lawrence is doing. I'm not saying he's going to be Peyton Manning because that's far-fetched, but the tendencies are there. You see what he's trying to do with the football. Tua, I think we will see it because, you know, going back to week one, because you really can't use week two as an example, but going back to week one, he was averaging over nine yards in the air on his passes on average. Yes, the yards per attempt wasn't there, but his air yards were there. So there's a lot to build on with Tua. We saw him take shots in New England. He wasn't dinking and dunking. He was throwing he was pushing the ball down the field. I believe he had three plays of over 20 yards through the air, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, at the end, we know that Tua needs this game. This is going to shut up a lot of people if he can go out there, perform at a very high level, and lead this team to victory, because he has to be the guy to do it now. We saw Jacoby Brissett not be the guy. The defense is not playing well. The offensive line is not playing well. Wide receivers, the Dolphins, I think, lead the league in drop passes this season. Tua has to be otherworld in this game, because this is the game to tune up for the following game against Atlanta, and then they go to Buffalo. And that game is circled on my calendar, because that is a game that is either going to see Tua, you know, not worry about what happened to him in week two, go out there and put up a good performance and try to keep the team in the game, or it's just going to turn back to what it was week two, and that could be a problem. So let's move on. Running back, I don't think it's particularly close. I like James Robinson over Miles Gaskin. I am thankful that they actually used Miles Gaskin in the game against Tampa Bay, and he shined. He was a very good player out of the backfield. He had 10 catches. I believe he had close to 45 yards rushing in the game when he had limited touches out of the backfield when they actually ran the football. But overall, I think he had a good game, and I think that's a good strategy going forward. Not having Devontae Parker in this game is to use Miles Gaskin as a receiving back. And I think I say it every week. We talk about it every week. They need to try to run the damn ball. Three and outs on throwing the football. If it goes incomplete, you're not taking much time off the clock. That was very evident against Tampa Bay, where they couldn't sustain anything when they got the game close in the second half by a touchdown. Then they continued to throw, and they couldn't do anything. The ball kept hitting the ground. Tom Brady had God knows how many drives and just put up point after point after point. They got to try to run the ball. That's why I think James Robinson is going to be the difference for Jacksonville. He's a very dynamic back. I still don't understand for the life of me why they drafted Travis Etienne at 25 when they had James Robinson, who was a 1,000-yard rusher, as an undrafted player last year. It just doesn't make any sense. But anything Urban Meyer does outside of sitting at a bar with a random woman doesn't make any sense. So who do you got for the advantage here, Dante?
Man, Tom railing against running backs in the first round. I never thought I'd hear that.
Because they had James Robinson. It's because they had James Robinson. And they signed Carlos Hyde. It doesn't make any sense.
No, it was a terrible pick. Yeah, terrible pick. I agree. I agree with you that James Robinson also definitely the best back in this game. Yeah. It was nice to see them throw the ball to Myles Gaskin. He can be an effective mismatch player for you out of the backfield. I don't think he's a particularly great running back, and obviously you cannot keep him in if you need someone to pass block. We've seen enough of that this season. But, you know, if you can get him on linebackers down the field, if you can get him involved in the screen game, right? The screen game, very much an extension of the running game. If you listen to coaches like, you know, Andy Reid and that whole coaching tree, that's something that they really believe in and something that I believe in. So if you can get Gaskin involved that way, that's really good. But James Robinson's a very, very impressive running back. So I think that the Jaguars have the advantage here as well.
Yeah. I'll be intrigued to see, you know, what they do also with Savon Ahmed in this game, because again, he's a scat back and he can catch out of the backfield as well. I think you're going to see, Malcolm Brown lined up in the backfield at times with Myles Gaskin out there as well, because you can do kind of different things, but having Malcolm Brown out there, who's a very good running back and pass protection, that could help as well. That's kind of an extension of the offensive line. If you have a running back that can block well, I'd like to see two backs in the backfield. I'm sorry, that's just me. Old school, like Madden right there. Wide receiver room would have been nice to have Devontae Parker in this game. He is out. The Jaguars don't have DJ Chark, so that is a huge loss for them. But Marvin Jones is there. You know, he's a good proven veteran. Laviska Shenault, I think, is coming into his own this year after kind of a sluggish season last year. Shenault is coming into his own. For the Dolphins, the usage of Jalen Waddle is going to make my hair fall out. They need to get him the ball down the football field, not within.
But Brissett won't throw it, right? Like, yeah. I mean, they've set him down there. It's like Brissett wasn't throwing the football.
No, I mean, you can go back to the play. I think it was against the Colts where Jalen Waddle is wide open 25 yards down the field, nobody around him, and he threw the check down to Savon Ahmed. So like you said, maybe it's not a point of they're not trying to get him the ball down the field. It's just Jacoby Brissett was not throwing the football down the field to him. We did see Tua throw the ball down the field to Waddle in week one against the Patriots. I'd expect to see that. I would expect to see the Dolphins come out fairly aggressive and try to get the ball in Waddle's hand to cause mismatch problems. Preston Williams is questionable. I would hope that he plays, because having that big body wide receiver out there could definitely help for sure. But, you know, Albert Wilson and Matt Collins are the other guys there. And so who's who? I'll lean Miami because I think they do have a more dynamic playmaker in Jalen Waddle, but Laviska Shenault is at the same level, but I'm going to lean Miami.
I think this is a push. I mean, if Parker was healthy, yeah, give me the Dolphins, but it's, you know, he's not going to play. Isaiah Ford's probably going to come from the practice squad. Like Preston Williams just cannot play a full game of snaps, even if he is healthy. Albert Wilson hasn't done anything this year. I don't know. This is a push for me, Tom. I think that this is two groups that are ailing. They're both struggling. I think that obviously Tua coming back should help the receiver room. He's typically more accurate than Jacoby Brissett, and hopefully he'll be more willing to push the ball down the field. And that'll certainly help Jalen Waddle. So I think this is a push though. And it's okay. Really concerning how close these two teams are on these three positions.
It is.
It's very concerning.
Well, I can tell you there's one spot that's really not as concerning, and that's the tight ends.
Yeah, we can wrap this up. Yeah.
Yes. We know who the better tight end is here on the field. And overall, obviously, outside of Gesicki, Smythe, Shaheen, hopefully some Hunter Long. I'd like to see some Hunter Long this week with Parker not playing. And if they don't elevate another wide receiver like Isaiah Ford, I'd like to see Hunter Long active because, again, you can use that dynamic. He is a pass-catching tight end. You can get him down the field with Gesicki. That could cause some mismatch problems, especially at the linebacker position, missing Miles Jack. This is fun. I'm going to let you handle this one, buddy. Offensive line between these two teams. Have at it, buddy.
Man, I got nothing. These units suck, man. They're bad. I don't even know what to say. Jacksonville, what are they going to roll out this week? It looks like it's going to be Cam Robinson, Andrew Norwell, Tyler Shatley. Isn't he hurt? He's not going to play. Rashad Coward and then Juwan Taylor. I mean, these guys have been brutal this year. And then obviously, I mean, we don't even talk about the Dolphins. They've been brutal. Liam Eikenberg, you know, big surprise. The fine left tackle looks perfectly fine at left tackle. Big shocker. Couldn't have told you that pre-draft. Austin Jackson, a little bit better than I was expecting at guard. I'm going to be honest. I was expecting an unmitigated disaster.
He wasn't an unmitigated disaster. Like you said, he was not that bad. He had his moments of not doing very well, but look who he was going against was Sue and Vita Vea for his first game at guard. That's tough.
Not too bad. Greg Mantz, I mean, sure. He was all right.
Hunt was okay.
Hunt was fine. Okay. Jesse Davis is a traffic cone. Please get him off the field. Why do I have to watch this man play football? I don't understand. He's awful. He has no redeeming qualities. Yeah. Please get him off the football field. I don't know. Both these teams are like, it's a push. They're both terrible. They're terrible. I don't know what else to say. There is no, the best lineman in this game is Cam Robinson, man. That's where we're at.
And that's not saying a ton.
It's not saying anything. It's terrible.
All right. Before we get into the defense, we asked some fans out there on social media for some questions. Something new we're going to try to do each and every week. So please send your questions over. When I do post, send it in that thread to Dante or myself. We'll be happy to answer. So let's get into some questions real quick. We touched on it. We're going to get to it. But who replaces Xavien Howard, and does Noah Igbinoghene even dress this week?
I mean, I think he dresses, right? He's got to dress. But I think we talked about this at the top. Like, I think it'll probably be Nick Needham.
Yeah. That was from Woody in quotes at ALW1971A. Next question is got to be my favorite question, Dante. So we're going to have a little fun with this one. All right. This is from Tyler Browning. Actually, wait, there was a better question before we get to that one. Let's go to Russell. Russell Grace. Russell Grace, this is specifically for you, Dante. Before the season, you were on Reasons podcast at a time Dolphin fans were super hyped. You brought up areas of concern, and to date has proven to be spot on, especially this co-offensive coordinator calamity. Now that serious flaws have been exposed, what is your long-term outlook for the Dolphins?
Man, this is a tough one. I got to say, it's a good question. It's a really good question. I appreciate Russell for following me through all these Dolphins podcasts. I appreciate that. I think my outlook for this team is when they hired Brian Flores, my major concern was we were going to try and be Patriot South, and it was going to fail. We have tried to be Patriot South, and it is failing. And generally speaking, that's where I'm at with it. And I think that this team, I wrote about this when the team hired the co-offensive coordinators for DolphinsTalk.com. I wrote this back in when they hired them, in February. It was less about whether or not Chris Godsey and Eric Studsfield were good play callers. And it was more about the philosophy of the team and how the team views themselves. Yeah. The Dolphins are zagging when the entire league is zigging. And it's just not like It's not good. The model that the Dolphins are trying to build are we're going to be this gritty, defensive, well-disciplined, punch you in the mouth football team. They are not well-disciplined. The defense hasn't been good this year. They are punching nobody in the mouth. And like that is not what is successful right now. If you look at all of the best teams in football, they are led by a innovative offensive play caller, a franchise cornerback, and an explosive passing game. The Dolphins have none of those things right now. Tua might be the franchise quarterback, but he hasn't played enough, so I don't know if he's the franchise quarterback. They definitely don't have an explosive passing game. They definitely don't have an innovative play caller. And, you know, defensive regression is inevitable. And I tried to tell people this over the summer, and I felt better about it because the Dolphins went out, they get Will Fuller, right? They draft Jalen Waddle. They put some more resources into the offensive line. You're like, all right, you know what? They see it. They see that the offense, you know, has to help carry the team this year. It can't just be the defense. That has not been the case, right? I think there's a fair argument to make that somehow the offensive line has, generally speaking, regressed this year, which I didn't even think was freaking possible. And then, you know, Will Fuller can't get on the football field. Jalen Waddle is Jarvis Landry, apparently. Like, it's just like everything that could go wrong has gone wrong. So my outlook for the team is, I don't think that they built this the right way, and I don't think that it was ever going to be built the right way with the philosophy that they took. Brian Flores is a perfectly fine head coach, and I think that Chris Greer is honestly a perfectly fine GM, but they have missed in key areas. They have missed with key picks. If you look at Chris Greer's draft record, it's not terrible. It really isn't. But the 2019 draft right now was one of the most important drafts in this franchise's history, and that draft looks really bad. And that's going to weigh down
Christian Wilkins.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, Christian Wilkins, right, is fine, but like
everything else was a train wreck there.
Right. 2019 draft, not great. You know, maybe you get a little, or that was the 2018 draft, Wilkins, right? 2019
was Wilkins. 2018 was Mika.
Okay. Yeah. So 2018 was Minka, right? So like he can draft good players, right? So 2019 draft doesn't look too good. You go to the 2020 draft even, right? Like, people are on the fence about Tua, whether that's fair or not. That we could do a whole podcast on that, so yeah. I'll push that aside. People are on the fence about him. Austin Jackson's bad. Noah Igbinoghene can't dress. Robert Hunt's been up and down. I mean, we can go down the list of that draft, right? Solomon Kinley's a backup now. Chris Greer missed on that 2020 draft. The 2019 draft's underwhelming. I think the outlook for this team, honestly, is that they need to change their philosophy. They need to change how they view themselves. You cannot be Patriot South. It's not going to work. It has never worked for anyone else except for the greatest coach and the greatest quarterback of all time. And the Dolphins have neither of those things. So I am a little bit concerned, frankly.
Yeah. I will say at this point, in this juncture, the 2021 draft, the first four picks could be really solid picks. Could be really solid if they use Jalen Waddle right. Jalen Phillips the last 3 weeks has really turned it on. He looks like a first round pick for sure. Javon Holland has been very good at safety.
Yeah, he's been good.
And Liam Eichenberg, now that they realize, hey, a left tackle should play left tackle.
Oh, crazy, right? That's mind blowing. See, that's what I'm trying to say is like everybody's like, oh, Chris Greer can't draft, and it's like, no, Chris Greer can draft. He just had a not good 2019 draft and a not good 2020. Like Chris Greer can draft. He's not like there are worse GMs in football than Chris Greer, but he missed on the most important draft in the franchise's history in 2020, probably. And then that's going to weigh him down, frankly.
Yeah, it's going to. Yeah. And it's weighing the team down. As you see the regression, particularly on offense, you know, last year they were mid pack on in regards of an offense. They finished what, 15th in points per game, mid pack. And they've regressed greatly. Defense, top five scoring defense, has regressed greatly. So nothing's worked. So something's got to get sorted out. So, all right, now to the fun question. Let's get to this question. it's a question I need an answer for. Right. It's from Tyler Browning. How and what brought about the obsession with Kermit GIFs and memes? I'll let all you right. take it first. I mean, you and I talked about this side chat.
Right.
You know my thought process on it. It's fantastic, but go on.
Yeah, I mean, the easy answer is that, like, there's a lot of them and they're all hilarious. I don't really know. Like, they're just objectively funny. Like, the video of the Kermit doll getting thrown off the roof is hilarious. And like, it's just, it's incredibly relatable. And yeah. So like, it started to
Dolphins
become,
fan, this is relatable stuff.
Yeah, no, exactly. Right. Like, it is like, oh, every time, you know, the Dolphins run on 2nd and 10, it's like, I just want to go off the roof, you know? And like, some of them are like really like the classic one of like him sipping the Lipton tea is like, I don't know, like, it's funny. Like, and there's like, what's really great about it is something that I've discovered is like, there's a Kermit meme for almost everything. Like, I have a picture of Kermit wearing sunglasses, like Hollywood Kermit. Like, I have like an obnoxious amount of Kermit the Frog memes in my camera roll. And they're just funny. Like, I don't have a better, like, how did it come about? Honestly, I don't know. Like, there's a lot of them. They're but very relatable.
Funny, when it's funny, it happens.
Yeah. Like, it really, yeah. Like, I just, and you know what? Kermit's a journalist. I'm also a journalist. So, like, I just relate to this frog, man. Like, I don't know what to say.
Yeah. Which actually, there is a meme of Kermit being a journalist doing this really fast.
Right. Yeah. There's a Kermit meme for everything. It really is.
I love it. I love it. And I use them because I laugh every time. And there's always a situation you throw a Kermit the Frog meme or GIF at somebody. So that's the portion of the show. We just wanted to start doing this a little bit more. But that question was probably the best one that I saw. Let's get into the defensive line. Who has the advantage here? Obviously, we know Emmanuel Ogbah, in my opinion, is probably the best pass rusher on the field right now. Josh Allen has been very good for Jacksonville up into, at this point of his career. I think there's still a lot there, but, you know, he is where he is at this point. I think there's a little bit of wasted talent for Josh Allen. I think he's a very dynamic pass rusher. But overall, Christian Wilkins has been playing very well. It was great to see Raekwon Davis back on the field last week, albeit looked a little rusty. Who do you got the advantage for here?
I think it's the Dolphins. I really do. I don't know if Jacksonville's D-line really poses anybody that I'm particularly concerned about. I like Josh Allen, but he's technically an outside linebacker. So I don't know if he qualifies here, but I do think he's good. Malcolm Brown is like very average. I like Devon Hamilton coming out of Ohio State, but he's a run-stopping nose tackle. He's not really like a guy that you worry about.
He won't
he's
have a lot football. Of work this week.
Yeah, no, probably not. He's a fine football player, but not really somebody that you worry about. On the flip side, I think Wilkins has been pretty good this year. Ogba's been good this year. So, yeah, give me the Dolphins.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Linebacking group, we talked about Miles Jack being out. That's a huge gap for the Jaguars defensively. It's going to make life tough. If they can scheme Miles Gaskin properly, I think Jacksonville's linebackers is going to struggle a lot in this game, especially if that dynamic starts to work. Now you got to really fade to where he's going, which can open up the middle of the field for a guy like Mike Gesicki. The Miami Dolphin linebackers, like I said, you know, like you said about Josh Allen, you could say the same thing about Jalen Phillips. Jalen Phillips technically is an outside linebacker, but we see his hand in the ground a lot more recently. And he's been very, very good for this group. And, you know, as much as we shade on a Landon Roberts, man, it seems like every single week he's putting the pads to somebody and making a serious hit. So, you know, I like the Dolphins unit a little better because Miles Jack isn't here, but also because Jalen Phillips is really developing into a special player.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Dolphins here as well. I think Miles Jack being out obviously helps the Dolphins. Like what you see from Jalen Phillips. I think, you know, Jerome Baker had probably his worst game of this. No, not probably. He definitely had his worst game of the season against Tampa Bay. I mean, he got absolutely picked apart. But he's not usually that bad, so I'm expecting a bounce back game from him. Look, Landon Roberts is fine moving forward. Like, he's great going downhill as a run stuffer. I got no beef with him there. It's literally everything else that I have a problem with. But no, I think the Dolphins have a better group here, especially with Miles Jack out.
Yeah. Defensive back, you know, like you said at the top of the show, Jacksonville is kind of like a who's who in that secondary, but losing Xavier Howard does squeeze this down a little bit. You know, Howard did not have a good game against Antonio Brown last week, and that was very evident. You know, some people say, we should have traded Howard. We should have traded Howard. Everybody is due a bad game. Xavier Howard has been an all-world corner for better part of a year and a half. He's due a bad game, and that was the game against the Tampa Bay Bucks. I'm going to take the Dolphins with the advantage here. They still have Byron Jones. I really like Javon Holland. I think, I want them to use him more. If they put McCourty on the outside for this game, have Javon Holland being your starter at strong safety, I would love to see it. I think he deserves more playing time with the limited snaps that he has played. He has been very good. He's actually only have given up one reception this season, with all safeties playing at least 100 minimum 100 snaps. He's only given up one reception when targeted. So that's very good. Eric Rowe has been fine, but they got to all be better. I like the Dolphins with the advantage on this one too.
Yeah, me too. This isn't even close, even with Xavier Howard out, I'm going to be honest. I don't think Jacksonville's really got anybody in that secondary who scares me. Shaquille Griffin is like, okay. He's a perfectly fine corner, but they overpaid him by about $7 million a year. So I don't know, how much credit I want to give them for that. I'd like to see Javon Holland play a little bit more too. I was skeptical of him based on where I thought they were going to play him, but they're playing him much closer to the role that I envisioned for him coming out of college. So I feel a little bit better about my evaluation, but he's been good this year. So I like to see him get some more reps. Obviously we talked about Nick Needham at length and what he's going to have to do with Xavier Howard out. At least I'm assuming he's going to be the other boundary guy this week. Dolphins clear advantage here. Jacksonville, look, man, if the Dolphins can't throw the ball on these guys, we got a problem.
Massive problem.
We already got massive problems, and that's a man. It's got to be 300 passing yards this week, Tom.
If they lose to Jacksonville, I will do the entire post game wrap up show with Mike Oliva with a paper bag over my head.
Oh, all right. Somebody clip this. We get the producer to clip this. We can't get out of it.
If I have to run to the grocery store to grab a paper bag, I will do it.
All right.
Just so everyone else. It may have a Target logo on it or something, but either way, either way. Special teams, I would absolutely love for Jason Sanders to have more attempts at kicking instead of punting at the 36, 37-yard line and having Pilardi kick it 15 yards. I would rather prefer a long field goal attempt because Jason Sanders is a very good kicker. They're just not giving him the opportunities. They're outthinking themselves every week, and you can think about that as every phase. But they're outthinking themselves. Just kick the field goal. Who gives a damn? If he makes it, he makes it. If he doesn't, he doesn't. But Pilardi has not been good. Matt Hawk hasn't been very good for Buffalo either, but Matt Hawk is still better. Pilardi just has not had it this year at this point. He's got a big leg, but again, outsmarting themselves. Let me pooch it down and get a fair catch. Try to coffin corner the damn thing. Who cares if it's a touchback? Don't give these guys a chance to return, or don't have a net of 25 yards on your punts. There's just a lot that has to happen there. I don't know who's kicking for Jacksonville. I think it was Josh Lambeau, although I thought he was hurt.
Jacksonville has not made a field goal this year. Fun fact.
Yeah, so we're going to move on. The Dolphins have an advantage here just because Jason Sanders has made a field goal. And if it does come down to a field goal kick at the end of the game and they haven't even tried a field goal attempt this year, that's
they're 0 for 5, if I remember correctly.
That's a bit much. All right.
Yeah.
Dante, easiest question. What the heck does the Dolphins have to do to get back on the winning track?
Yeah, so this is going to sound like a really like sarcastic answer, but it's honestly just play like competent football. Like this is Jacksonville. Like you do not have to come out here and like execute perfectly, but you have to be competent, and they have not been competent in like weeks. it's not both sides of the ball too. Like the defense was incompetent last week. The offense was half competent in that game. The previous week, the offense couldn't do anything until the fourth quarter. They weren't competent. Nobody was competent against Buffalo. It's just been a trade of who's playing well. So look, they got to come out. Don't turn the football over. Don't beat yourself. Be disciplined. Let's try not to, let's not get a holding call after a 6-yard run and turn, second and 4 into second and 16, stuff like that. When you're playing a bad team, the only way that they're going to beat you is if you beat yourself. So that's what Miami has to do. I have full confidence in them that they can, you know, go out there and Tua coming back and they can be a little bit more explosive and a little bit more efficient on offense and they can score some points against this team. I have full confidence that the defense can bounce back against a really bad offense, even though Xavier's not playing. So you just have to be competent. Don't go out there and beat yourself. Don't throw stupid interceptions. Don't fumble the football. Don't have bad holding penalties. And Jacksonville probably will not beat you. They're 0-5, and they're not a good 0-5 either. The only bright spot on that team is the occasional immaculate, insane throw that Trevor Lawrence makes. The rest of the team is really bad. So if you don't let, if you don't give them an edge, they're probably not going to take one. So that's what the Dolphins have to do, at least in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. You know, you hit the nail on the head. Be competent and actually perform at a good level. You know, we're not asking this team to be, you know, 40 points a week. They're not the Kansas City Chiefs or the Buffalo Bills, but they need to score for me to feel happy, like really happy. Obviously, a win will make me really happy, but to make me ecstatic, put up 28 points. This is a defense. This can help build confidence. These are confidence building games. If you win, you win decisively and you blow them out. This is the type of game that can propel you going forward. I just want to see the defense be the defense that they were last year. That's not asking a hell of a lot. Well, maybe it is this year. I want to see Tua. You know, be Tua. Don't handcuff him. Let him throw the football down the field. Let these guys make plays and don't worry about the damn turnover. That's part of my issue with Brian Flores right now. It's like everybody's so worried offensively to cause a turnover, to have a turnover in their possession from an interception, a fumble, or whatever else. I mean, fumbles are inexcusable, but an interception, if you're pushing the ball down the field 30, 35 yards and the ball's picked off, okay, great. It was a great play. Or, damn, it was a bad throw. But you got to take those chances. And I want to see that. I want to see them take more chances. I want to see them put up points. That's what they have to do, obviously, score more points than the other team. But I want this to be decisive. This is the freaking Jaguars. There's no other way to say it. They have to win this game.
Yep.
All right. Key matchup, Dante.
Key matchup. I think if Jacksonville is going to put up points, it's going to be LaVisca Chenault on Justin Coleman in the slot. That does worry me a little bit. The one thing that you do miss out on with Xavier Howard is that his ability to play inside outside. I know that Antonio Brown dusted him last week. I think a lot of people forget that Antonio Brown is going to be in the National Football League Hall of Fame when he retires. His numbers are absolutely insane for his age. If he plays three more years, he's going to break several records. He's a really, really, really good football player. I know he went off the rails for 2 years and, like, you know, freaked out or whatever the heck happened to him, but it seems like he's doing better now and he's really stinking good. So, you know, Xavier Howard's really good inside and out. So Justin Coleman being pegged for LaVisca Chenault all game, that's key matchup, man. If Jacksonville's going to score points, if they're going to move the ball in the passing game, that's where they're going to go.
Yeah, I agree with you. But you know, I think a big matchup for me this week is the Dolphins linebacking corps against James Robinson. If you can't stop the run, because in most cases James Robinson's going to get to that second level. So that's four or five yards. If you can't tackle him, if you can't get him to the ground, he is going to make you pay. And that's why my concern for this game is the Dolphins are just going to continue to throw the ball. And if they can't put up any points, it's just going to be a massive problem stopping Jacksonville's run game, because Robinson can go for 150 yards easily. He's that good of a running back. And the Dolphins linebackers have to tackle. They have to find their stride, and they have to build a lead. If they can get a lead, that takes the run game out of the equation. Now you force Trevor Lawrence to start pushing the ball. Now you need your defense to make some plays. So to me, it's James Robinson versus the Dolphins linebackers. It's prediction time. Dante, you're 4-1 on the season. The only blemish is that we all picked the Colts.
We all picked the Colts. Yeah.
All picked the Colts to lose. So that's where we are right now. I'm at 3-2. You're at 4-1. Good old fashioned London game, 9:30 in the morning. Dante, who do you have?
I got the Dolphins in this one, Tom. I'm going back to Miami. I just cannot imagine losing this game. I really can't. Like, it's just, and I'm saying that, and then it's going to happen, and it's going to be really bad. But yeah. I got the Dolphins. I think they win 28-20.
28-20. All right. I'm going to also have the Dolphins winning this game. I think, like I said, I'd like to see 28 points, so I'm going to say the Dolphins will win this game 28-20. And I think this is the game that for at least a week, people can shut up about Tua, shut up about Deshaun Watson stuff, and just be happy with a win. Because cocky Dolphins Twitter seems decade, it seems like it's been a long, long time since any, you know, we were out here. A lot of Dolphins Twitter was out there pounding their chest. This is going to be a great season. We're going to win. We're going to roll over everybody. They're 1-4. They have to be 2-4 after this game. If they lose to Jacksonville, the season is all wrapped up.
Yep.
It is done. You are now sellers before the trade deadline. Period. End of story. It's over. So they have to win this game, get back home against the Falcons on your home field, and then try to get to 3-4 before you go play Buffalo. That's the only logical record you can be going into that game in Buffalo on Halloween. That's it. And the schedule after the Bills game is lightened up. You don't have serious competition outside of Baltimore mixed in. You have Houston, you have the Jets, you have, you know, the Patriots again. I mean, it is a schedule that can work, but the Dolphins have to be at 3 wins before they get to Buffalo. But first and foremost, they have to have game number 2 under the belt in bloody old England. They got to get the job done. So that will do it for Countdown to Kickoff. Thank you all for listening and watching. If you're watching, be sure to follow Dante at Dante Colonelli with all his Kermit memes during the game. Follow me at Dolphins Talk Tom. Follow the main site at Dolphins Talk and go to dolphinstalk.com every single day for all the latest Miami Dolphins news and information. We'll be back with a post-game wrap-up show, potentially with a paper bag on my head, which may not be a bad thing anyways, but that could be a possibility. So stay tuned. Fins up. Let's get that dub.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.